Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Aren't you glad you're here this morning? We are in Ephesians, and I'm preaching a sermon series through the book of Ephesians called Glory in the Church. And what we've got here this morning, I've entitled the message, Open the Eyes of My Heart. How many of you remember that old song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Well, in verses 15 to the end of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, is a prayer. It's a prayer. And what I'd like us to do, if it's at all possible, is read together this prayer. So would you stand? Ellen's going to have it on the screens. And that way we can all read from the same translation. You can just look at the screens and read together. But we're going to read verses 15 through the end of the chapter because it's one complete prayer. I'm only going to preach verses 15 through 18. But let's all, as we honor God's word, let's all read the scriptures together. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the... Come on, Ellen. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Isn't that a marvelous prayer? Isn't that powerful? Shan Smith, you're at the back door, so get us through the front door of prayer, would you?
Yes. Yes.
Listen now to your word, walk over us, and your face go down on us, and may Jesus go
out. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. You may be seated. Now, this is one of the greatest prayers you'll ever read. And you know, there's a lot of great prayers in the Bible. And Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And do you know where he prayed this prayer? In prison. He's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus from prison, and he just breaks out in this great prayer for the family of God. And you know what that says to me? We can pray anywhere, anytime, any place, under any condition. Isn't that amazing that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and seek the Lord's leadership in prayer? And so in this fabulous prayer, Paul is praying for the Ephesians. That's called intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Did you know that there's someone in heaven praying for you this morning? His name is Jesus. He has an intercessory prayer ministry at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is praying for you. I'm letting that sink in. He's praying for you. Wow. Can I just share with you one of the favorite times for me in COVID-19 pandemic has been Wednesday nights. We do an online, virtual praise and prayer service. We're applying, you know, the book of 1 Thessalonians to what we've learned in how to study your Bible. But when we finish that, I spend usually the last 15, maybe sometimes 20 minutes of that 6 o'clock time period praying for one another. And man, it is a fabulous, you know, the Billy Walker's Hooterville prayer wire, prayer request. Well, we pray over those. Sometimes Billy has some Sunday school class prayers, and it was amazing to hear all those prayer requests come together in Sunday school again today. And then people will also start putting in the comments section in our Facebooks or the things that they're asking and requesting prayer for. And we'll pray over all of those needs. And it is amazing sitting there in front of my laptop with in our sunroom. It's like the Spirit of Almighty God just falls fresh on us. I mean, I can't even explain it to you how special it is when God's people get together and pray for each other. Who are you praying for today? I was so blessed to read Tad Ketch's post on Facebook this week. And he was basically giving praise to God for the prayers of the saints and how God has been with him every step of the way through this whole kidney dialysis insurance process. And there's power when God's people pray together. And that's what Paul's doing here. He is praying for the church in Ephesus. And if you don't have anybody to pray for, here's Exhibit A right here. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. I want to be the kind of pastor that this church needs. I want to be the kind of preacher that God's called me to be. And I certainly need to be a better husband and father. So pray for me. Pray intercessory prayer. Powerful, powerful truth. Now, as we've dived into Ephesians chapter 1, and we learned early on in verse 3, the crux of this whole passage, this paragraph, this first chapter, is verse 3. Let me read it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Has blessed us. Is there an amen anywhere? Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so what Paul is telling us and telling the church in Ephesus is that God has blessed us with these great abundant blessings, spiritual blessings for those who are in Christ. And he spends the next 11 verses after verse 3 telling us what our spiritual blessings are, counting our spiritual blessings. And Paul is praying specifically that we would understand all that we have in Christ. Do sometimes I think we'd be real much better off if we would begin to try to wrap our head and our heart around who we are in Christ. Do you understand how rich you are? I said, do you understand how rich you are and how blessed you are as a child of God? Because you see, for most of us, I think we don't count our blessings enough. And when you don't do that, what good is a blessing if you don't incorporate it? What good is money if you can't spend it? What good is your home if you can't live in it? What good is your car out here if you can't get home in it? Amen? One of the things that I've also learned through COVID-19 is what a blessing our health is. And because, you know, when this thing's wearing me out. When you don't understand what... Let me put it like this. You don't know what you have till it's gone. And when you lose your health, you realize what a blessing that was. Well, that's the way it is. You can't live your life to the fullest until you begin to understand who you are in Christ. So that was a pretty long introduction. I guess I better get to the sermon. But let me talk to you this morning quickly about open the eyes of my heart. Now let's look at the setting again of this prayer. Y'all with me? Stay with me now. Verse 15 again. Let me read it. Therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, the setting of this is a happy prayer. You can almost sense Paul's almost just, jumping for joy here. He's giddy and he's happy. This is a happy prayer. And why is he happy? Because he's heard. Do you see the words faith and love? Circle those in your Bible if you don't think that's heresy. Love, faith. Faith in Christ and love for all the saints. You see, brothers and sisters, that's why Paul was happy. He'd heard about their faith in Christ. Now, that phrase there, faith in Christ, literally means to be anchored. How many Vanderbilt fans do we have in here? To be anchored in Christ. That's what that phrase means, faith in Christ, to be anchored in Him. And by the way, if you're anchored in Christ, your anchor will hold. And so my anchor's in Christ. Now, where is Christ Jesus? Where is He this morning? That's not a trick question. He's in the right hand of God. He's in heaven. And so if your anchor is in Christ and He's in heaven, where are you? Woo! You see, it's just as good as done, brothers and sisters. We are already there. It's as if we are already anchored with Him. It's like we're already in heaven. You say, this isn't heaven. No, but I want to tell you, we get glimpses of heaven from time to time, and it is coming. It is a sure thing. We are anchored. Our faith is in Christ. And you know, the Christian life is, it's all about faith. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. Not faith in faith itself, but faith in Christ. That's how you're saved, by God's grace through faith. We've been talking about that as we've been moving through these verses in Ephesians. And so you begin this life of faith by trusting Christ and Christ alone. And then you get your Bible out and you begin to start learning how to read your Bible by faith and accepting those truths in the Word of God by faith. And then you learn how to pray by faith. And then you learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit by faith. And then you walk by faith. And then everything is about faith in Christ in the Christian life. And you're building this life. Do people know you by the faith that you have in Christ? You see why Paul's so happy? Faith. And then let me mention this word, love. Say love for me. Love. Love. By your love for one another, your love for the saints. Paul was happy about that. And can I just tell you, the number one extinguishing mark between us and a lost and dying world is love. Our love for people. That's it. That's what separates us. That's what marks us out, is our love. Not our knowledge, not our wisdom, not our stuff. It's love. Love. Love for people. And especially love for the saints. Isn't that what it says there? Their love for one another. As a matter of fact, you remember what Jesus said in John 13:35? And by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you kick one another while they're down. No. By the way that you love one for another. That's how people know that we're followers of Christ, by the way that we love each other. I had a testimony this morning from one of our little black ladies, Martha. And she said, from the moment she walked in here, she felt like she had gone back to her roots because she experienced the love of Christ Jesus in here. And she gave testimony to that very fact. Can I just tell you, there is nothing like the family of God when we're loving on one another. You know, Miss Dorothy Graves has had to say goodbye to a daughter. And I can't imagine what that would be like to be a parent and to have to bury a child. Awful. But did you know that, do you know how many loaves of bread that Miss Dorothy Graves has baked for people since that point in time? Donna and Mike Rainey have been delivering all of them. And I bet you she has baked 6 dozen loaves of bread since then. You see, she's been loving on God's people. And Mike and Donna have been delivering those people, those loaves of bread. They brought me one. Whew! Sourdough bread. Amen. You know, and so how many of you have ever gotten a card or a letter from somebody in this church? Maybe you were down. Maybe you were having trouble. Maybe you were having some issues. And all of a sudden, I mean, Kenda Kokenauer, that's her spiritual gift, is writing cards and letters. I don't know how many of those. When Isaac and I visited my mother in Murfreesboro a couple of weeks ago, Mom's sitting there in her recliner there in Becky's living room, and there's a stack of cards in there. And she started reading them to me. Mary Ann. And I was amazed and blown away by how many people in our church have encouraged her with just a card, a letter. We had some of our folks get on the phone and call her and talk to her. And you remember the Davis family who has all those children right over here in this neighborhood over here? Well, our men built them a handicap ramp, or whatever you call those things. They tore my mom's down at the condo and used that and built so that their little son could get in and out of their house. The love that you have one for another. You remember the, all of you have experienced the love of Christ Jesus for one another in this church family. And let me just say it again. The number one extinguishing mark that really sets us apart from every is by the love that we have one for another. I don't know how many gift cards, supper cards the Ketches have gotten, but you know that's just an expression of the way we love them. And I don't even begin to know what all God's going to do next. And if I went around the room, all of you could probably have some kind of testimony. You remember that day, Rick, we went out to David Fry's house, and he had all these huge trees down in his yard, and we took some. And David's kind of like me. He doesn't need any help because, you know, after all, he can pull himself up by his own bootstraps, you know, and all that. You know how we men are. But I want to tell you, when we left, old David was in tears because of the love of Christ people. Let's continue to love on folks the way Jesus loves us. And I could give testimony about the Nelsons. I could go all the way around the room here. But Paul was overjoyed when he heard about their faith in Christ and their love for one another. That's the setting of this prayer. Now, let's look at this. Let's get to the meat of the matter quickly. The subject of this prayer. Now, let me read again verse 18 for you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The subject of this prayer is found right smack dab in the middle of verse 18. It says that you may know. Know what? Well, this is a prayer for enlightenment. Enlightenment. Paul wants the church in Ephesus to know some things. And specifically, he wants them to know him. He wants them to know Christ better and better. You know, when you first got saved, you were on fire, and you had begun that relationship with Christ, and man, it was so great. But you didn't stay that way, did you? You started getting to know him better and better and better. And that's what, you remember what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 10? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed in the image of his death. And so Paul is saying those words after he'd been a veteran in the faith for many, many years. And yet that was Paul's, that was his passion, to get to know Christ. And how many of us would be better off today if we're knowing Jesus better today than we did yesterday? You see, that is possible. That is possible. Now, there's a word I want us to just kind of park on. It's the word illumination. I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-I-O-N. Illumination. You know what that word means. It's when light shines on something and reveals an object to you or something of that nature. The Holy Spirit has a lot of different ministries, but one of those ministries is the ministry of illumination. Now, the phrase, the eyes of your understanding, literally reads there in verse 18, the eyes of your heart. Now, we know your heart doesn't have eyes, right? But your heart does and can have understanding. It can have understanding. And so there are, what Paul's praying for is simply this. Let me get to the point. The Holy Spirit will enlighten or open the eyes of your heart so that you might know him better, that you might get understanding, and specifically that we might begin to understand who we are in Christ, how blessed we are, how rich we are, as what our inheritance is as the family of God. To know Jesus personally, well, that's salvation. But to increasingly know him better and better, that's this big word, sanctification. In order for us to know him better, God uses this thing called illumination. And I like you say, well, how do we get to know him better? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 17. One more time, we're going to close with this verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we're not talking here about some new revelation. After the Holy Spirit gave John the book of the Revelation, the canon of Scripture was closed. In other words, we have everything we need to know from God in the written word after the canon of Scripture was closed. In other words, anything you want to know about Jesus, you'll find where? In the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have experiences with Jesus, that you can't, those kind of things, but every experience that you have with Jesus and about you better line up with this book, because there's no more new revelation. Now, what there is that happens in order for you to get to know Jesus better and better is this thing called illumination. Am I making sense? I want to be sure I'm communicating. There's no new revelation. Next time you hear somebody say, man, I've got a new revelation for you, and they're talking about something outside this book, run. Get away from them. That's not what you need to hear. There is no new revelation, but there is illumination. And that's how God helps us to get to know him better and better. When the Holy Spirit imparts that light that you need, you know, in order to see some spiritual truth that you didn't know. In other words, let me put it like this. We've talked about this before. How many times have you been reading over a verse of Scripture or a paragraph or a passage of Scripture, and you've read it 15, 20, 25, maybe 100 times, and all of a sudden, boom! The light of the Holy Spirit shines in your heart, and gives you understanding of a spiritual truth that's always been there, but you're just now getting it. That ever happened to anybody? It happens all the time. And that's how God helps us to get to know Him better and better and better. I mean, and the more you get to know Jesus, the better you get to know Jesus, the more like Him you're going to become. Whew. How do I get to know Jesus better and better? Right here. Right here. He'll give you wisdom and knowledge, and He'll illuminate. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, when you get saved, He doesn't just give you a big shovel full and say, here it all is, get it while you can. No. As we are ready for truth, God gives us more truth. He doesn't just pile it all up in front of you all at once. Little by little, God knows when we're ready for more truth, right? And I mean, He's not going to give the same truth in the same way and in the same amount and in the same bucket full to Ethan as He gives to Billy Walker. Why? Because Billy's been walking with Jesus a lot longer than Ethan has. But you're getting there, aren't you, brother? You see what I'm saying? So God gives us truth as we move through this life so that we can get to know Him better and better and better. And I want to say to you, you're not going to get to know God any better than right here in this book. Get in His Word. And then when you get in His Word, you're going to get around God's people and from time to time be reminded of some truth that you already knew. And then boom, you say, yeah, okay, Lord, I get it. And then you begin to grow. And the more you grow spiritually, the more like Jesus you become. The better you know Him, the more likely you are to become like Him. And you're never going to be Him, but you're going to be like Him. And so I thank God for the ministry of illumination. Let me close with this illustration. Y'all remember Brother Shep? Wasn't he a blessing? Brother Shep had about an eighth grade education. Wound up getting his GED, went into the Army and all that. And God saved him when he was 41, I think. 41 years old, something like that. But Brother Shep never had a big, you know, PhD. He never had a big education. But there isn't anybody that knew the Bible any better than Brother Shep. And he could teach the Bible. He loved to preach the Bible. And he lived out the Bible. And as God, and I remember he told me when I first started, I went out to Woodlawn to be his youth pastor. And anyways, this relationship really was embellished for several years there. And he told me that he'd been to Liberty, at that time it was Liberty College, and he'd gotten a diploma from there, and he tried to study and do all this and blah, 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 blah. And so little by little, he went to a home Bible study that some of the folks at First Baptist took him under their wing, and he started learning and getting to know Jesus better and better and better. And because the ministry of illumination had happened to him. Well, back a few years ago, before he passed away, his wife Blanche had died. And man, that tore him all to pieces. She was his nurse. She was his best friend. She was his companion. I mean, Blanche took care of everything there at the Shepherd's household. And she used to dispense all of his medication to him, you know. He was diabetic and he had some health issues. And he had one of these pill boxes or one of these pill, what is it, Shan? Pill what? Pill organizers. Yeah, I didn't even know what the name of those were, but every week she would fill that pill organizer up with his medicine. Well, when she died, he had to start doing that. And then this lady started coming over to clean his house for him and take care of him and cook for him a little bit. And she started, he told her, he said, you need to, if you would help me fill up this pill organizer, that's one last thing I'll have to worry about. So she started doing that. And then after about 6 months, she got sick. And so he went through all his pills, and then he pulled all those bottles out of the kitchen cabinet, began to fill up, you know, his organizer. And then she finally got well and came back 2 weeks later, and she noticed that he had been taking some pills out of one of those bottles that was for the dog. The dog had arthritis. And so there was this prescription pill bottle for the dog up there. And Brother Shep had been putting, and she said, Shep, did you know that you had been taking this medicine for the dog? He said, no, I thought that was just more medicine for me. She said, no, that's the dog's medicine. And he said, well, I wondered why I've been wanting to chase cars. Doesn't that sound just like him? And you see, the light bulb came on for him. He was taking the wrong medication that wasn't for him, but was for his dog. And I don't know what God wants to do here this morning, but the Holy Spirit has not changed. And He wants to illumine us, to help us understand how rich and how blessed we are as the children of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And He wants us to know Him better and better and better, until one day He will have, well, we will have just wrung everything out of life that we can get out of it, like Brother Shep did. And then He comes to get us and take us home, because our anchor is in Jesus, and He'll take us to be where He is. Wouldn't it be fantastic if revival broke out in the church during these days? Wouldn't that be wonderful for Jesus to get not only better and better and better for us, but so that He might get better and better and better for all these folks out here? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that You might visit us in an unusual way, and You have this morning. I thank You, Father, for just the wonderful, awesome ministry of the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that inspired Paul to write these words for us has written them in our hearts today. That we need to be better and better and better in our wisdom and our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And only You can do that, Father. So I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this sanctuary today might make the decision to know You better, that You might open up the eyes of our understanding of who we are and who we can be in Christ. And for those who are not in Christ, that are watching online or maybe even here in this service, Lord, salvation can come quickly to a believer. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, you'd be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ, asking Him forgiveness, agreeing with Him about your sin, and trusting His finished work at Calvary for all your sins to be forgiven. If you just call on Jesus to save you today, He will look into your spirit and into your heart. And if you really mean business with Him, He will save you. And then you can get to know Him better and better and better. We ask it in the name that's above every other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. During our time of response and invitation, the altar's open. You're welcome to come and pray. I'll pray with you, pray for you. Maybe there's an issue that you're dealing with and you just need help. I don't know what that is. If you made a decision for Christ today, you come and share it with me. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. But wouldn't it be great if just the 30-some-odd people that are in here this morning made the decision, Lord, I want to know You better today than I did yesterday.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.